The news we all expected came out, kinda, and we're all still freaking out about it. Welcome to 2021 Covering the NFL. My name is JP Finley, and I cover the Washington Football Team. This is a podcast about the Washington Football Team called, ironically or unironically, Washington Football Talk. Mitch Tischler, Pete Haley will join me momentarily, but we're going to talk about Alex Smith and what happens next. Let's go.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Let's ride together.
What up, everybody? It's JP Finley. It's the Washington Football Talk Podcast. I'm here with enthusiastic Mitch Tischler. How you doing, Mitch?
What up, everybody?
And Mr. Pete Haley. Peter, hello.
Hello, friends.
Wow. I don't think that's emo or Michigan. I think that's just weird Jim Nance impression.
Yeah, I decided to just pull that out right then and there and probably will never do it again. But one time is a good time.
Lots to discuss. Want to thank the good folks at Orsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them, want you to do the same thing. Go get a car, go lease a car. You could sell them a car. You can get your car fixed. They can do anything you want. OrsmanVA.com. Pete, you know that Nina is legit, like, worried about you buying. She texted me. She's like, listen, I really think we should talk to Pete about his plans with this car. And I was like, listen, I've learned with Pete that sometimes you can't talk to him. So we'll see.
Like, I appreciate Nina checking in on me at all times, but I am an adult with money and I can make my own decisions. But this car movement has elicited far more responses than I ever expected. I'm getting messages daily on which cars to buy. Some dude actually tried to tell me to customize a Tesla and they deliver it to my doorstep. Apparently there's a lot of interest in it, but again, it's probably not going to happen for a while. And in the meantime, it'll just be reserved for good pod shtick.
Lazy Pete certainly would like the idea of a Tesla being delivered to his doorstep.
Well, I mean, that's pretty juicy to just get a notice from the concierge. Like, hey, your Tesla's outside. It's way better than like, oh, your toothbrush heads just showed up, or there's your new pillow.
I'm an adult with money, he says, Mitchell.
Listen, he's an adult that's getting Terry McLaurin paychecks once a year. So
I didn't say it was my money. It's just money. It's money coming to me. I didn't necessarily earn it in any way, but it's mine.
Good for you, buddy. On this podcast, we do not apologize for success. In fact, we attack it.
Correct.
So let's get down to the business at hand. Rap Sheet says Washington will be parting ways with Alex Smith in the next few days, coming days, whatever. We all know that. We've been talking about it on this podcast for a while. We've been talking about it on the radio. And it's not just me. I think you guys, Standig, Keim, Phillips, the
everybody.
Post folks, everybody, Matt, Paris, everybody. So it's this weird rap sheet says it, so then it kind of becomes official, but we already knew it. But now it does feel like there's some sense of finality, and then the actual sense of finality will appear when they actually cut them, which will happen before the next podcast. And no, there will not be an emergency podcast when they cut him, unless they cut him and trade for Deshaun Watson. Like, there has to be a subsequent move for to validate an emergency pod. Level of surprise, any scale you want. Pete, go ahead.
level of surprise. I saw the news on my phone and my eyebrows didn't even raise up a millimeter. I did more of a nod instead of an eyebrow raise. Level of relief is pretty high. But again, I do think it's somewhat of a shame that just because of, we all kind of knew this was inevitable, that Alex has become sort of a, just a weight around our necks a little bit, just waiting for this to happen. And it's become sort of a drag to talk about what is really still a remarkable, miraculous story. But in the end, it's football. Ron Rivera had a decision to make. He made the right one. I think all three of us agree with that. It's the sensible one. It's the prudent one. And it's the necessary one. So now that it's finally basically happened, it's nice that we don't need to continue to couch it or talk about Alex in the QB room, because he shouldn't have been there and he will not be there.
Yeah. I mean, my level of surprise at the fact that he's being cut wasn't much. I was surprised at the reaction from Washington football fans. I mean, I guess it's a lot like we talked about with Dwayne Haskins so much, where it was kind of, you saw what you wanted to see, but there were a group of people that were saying, put him in the Ring of Fame. And there's a group of people saying, good riddance. That bum was never any good. He was a check down Charlie, this, that, and the other thing. So I kind of was a little surprised with that, because while, you know, he never put up gaudy numbers in his time here, he's the only quarterback that was able, that was getting this team across the finish line to W's. And you can appreciate the fact, like we've said on this podcast a million times, that he had this incredible comeback story, and that he's also not the guy that they need to have in the quarterback room moving forward. So for the people that were so salty about Alex and his time at quarterback here, I was surprised to hear that.
So speaking of the Ring of Fame, we had a caller on the radio show call in screaming about the Ring of Fame. So I sent out a tweet that I thought was completely innocuous. Should Alex go into the Ring of Fame? Dude, this tweet so my thing with these Twitter polls is only do it for an hour, because they happen. Twitter is all about like speed, and to leave something up for a day on Twitter is just asinine. So in an hour, in 1 hour's time, you guys want to guess how many votes I got on this thing?
Well,
10,000.
You leave it up for 24 hours so Les Carpenter can see it, because he's always late. But in terms of how many votes, you have 40,000 followers. I'd say a lot of them have alerts for your tweets. I'd say you got 6,000 votes.
5,400 votes.
Yeah.
Overwhelmingly, people said no to the Ring of Fame. 79% to 21%. And I got more replies to this tweet, like calling me an idiot, asking what I'm thinking. I wasn't thinking anything. It was a poll, because some dude called in and said, put him in the Ring of Fame. And like, people we know are like, what are you doing? Like, I'm not doing anything. It's a Twitter poll. Relax.
Sounds like you're campaigning for it.
I did on the radio show make the case for it. Like, I wouldn't vote that way. But dude, what he overcame, and to come back and win the NFC East title this year, that doesn't happen without Alex Smith. And maybe that title is hollow to a lot of people. I don't think it is, but whatever. I don't think he should go in the Ring of Fame. I didn't realize that Portis and Cooley aren't in the Ring of Fame. Those guys should be next. Kerrigan after that. Ricky Sanders evidently is. I haven't spent a lot of time thinking about the Ring of Fame. Ricky Sanders needs to be in there. And then certainly Portis and Cooley. And then Kerrigan when the time is appropriate. I think Trent Williams needs to be in there. So boom, I just came up with five people. And I got like a million texts and tweets about like put Robert in or put Kirk in ahead of Alex. And like, I think you can make a case for Robert. You can maybe make a case for Kirk. I don't think that'll ever happen, but dude, I'm not advocating for it. Like, I just thought it was irrelevant, because what's happened with Alex Smith is you can't discuss anything with him without the preamble voicing and justifying how impressive his comeback was. And that is a huge part of the story. But at this point, the Washington football team just has to make business football decisions. And Alex, from a business from a football business perspective, doesn't make sense. And we've been saying it for weeks, if not months. Let's get the train out of the station, man.
Yeah.
To that point,
I wonder too. Listen, the Washington football team had a COVID outbreak. They shut down operations. Coaches, staffers largely weren't in there for the month of February. People worked remote. They grinded on tape. They're going to come back in with their free agents. They're going to come back in with their draft boards. I wonder if everybody was in the office if this thing would have already happened. And I wonder if Alex doesn't say what he says to GQ, if he already knew he was getting released. Like, a lot of these things could have been different, but for whatever reason, they weren't.
Yeah. I would say, JP, next time you do a poll, you need to attribute it to that caller so it's clear it's not coming for you. That's point number one. In terms of the GQ comments, John Keim reported, I'm sure JP heard the same thing, that they really didn't influence anything. They might have sped this along a bit, but they're going to cut it for us. Yeah. And number three, like, this is maybe in one way the hardest cut Ron Rivera's had to make as a Washington football team head coach because of Alex's history. But in another way, compared to Geis and Peterson and all these other players, it was the easiest. He's a 36-year-old quarterback with a massive cap number who has durability issues and is far from his prime and will never really grow anymore in this part of his career. He's a great backup. Just the train is out of the station. We're all waving goodbye. There's going to be a couple new trains coming in. They're going to be younger and have more upside, and Washington will be better for it.
I mean, you had your Twitter poll that took a lot of heat. I tweeted us.
The poll should not. It's a poll. It's a question. Questions should not generate heat.
Well, you were the one asking the question because you didn't attribute it to your radio listener. So that's why you took a ton of or caller. That's why you took a ton of heat. I tweeted something about Alex Smith's record. He was 11-5 in his three seasons. The rest of the quarterbacks that played were 6-26 and took a ton of heat from people saying that Alex wasn't the one that won those games. I can't believe you're giving him credit. And largely, I think quarterback wins is a terrible stat to use. But in the context of comparing it to the other guys that played at the same time with the same receivers, with the same great defense and all that, it bears some recognition that whatever it was that he brought to the field, whatever the intangible was that he brought to the field that allowed them to win the football games when he was in the game and lose them when he wasn't, deserves some recognition. Now, by no means am I saying that he belongs in the Ring of Fame. You can just appreciate that whatever it was that he brought to the field was a million times better than the rest of the group that had opportunities to start football games in his tenure in Washington.
Do you think, and I think JP might be frozen or he's gazing to the left very hard. Mitch, I'll ask you. This is the point of my morning story tomorrow, 7 a.m. NBC Sports Washington. Can you give a grade to the Alex Smith trade, or does all of the injury and the recovery and all that kind of make it impossible to fully hand out a grade?
I think it makes it impossible because the biggest thing with Alex's injury, obviously, aside from the fact that they were 6-3 at the time and looking good, whatever would have happened in 2018, I think that Alex's injury directly correlated to the drafting of Dwayne Haskins in 2019, because I think it pushed forward the timeline for Washington to get that QB of the future. If Alex goes 6-3 and Alex somehow, and that team makes the playoffs in 2018, all of a sudden that need for QBX, for that quarterback of the future, isn't as glaring as it was post Alex's injury. And when that injury happened, that allowed for the need to rush, which I think that we can all kind of agree the 2019 drafting of Dwayne Haskins was, it rushed the need for a quarterback of the future and forced a move to go and get that guy as quick and as early as possible. So when I look at Alex's tenure and kind of the way that the trade happened and where we go now, that's the biggest impact that I think that the injury had, was not necessarily on Alex directly, but the overall direction of the team was altered because of that major injury.
Yeah, it's definitely, my first headline was grading the trade is damn near impossible, and then I changed it to something a little better. But I agree with you, Mitch, it's impossible. And it's weird because, you know, people were upset that they traded Kendall Fuller. Well, Kendall Fuller's back, and there's no way Washington knew that was going to happen, but the main guy in that package has returned. So you had Alex and Kendall at the same time. And Alex's injury cost you the playoff berth in 2018 that it looked like you were about to get, but then his miraculous return gave you a playoff berth in 2020. So it kind of evens out there. And I guess the biggest problem of the whole thing was the contract extension that they gave him, which made it really hard to separate from Alex once it became clear he was sort of a piece that needed to be let go. But if you didn't give him that contract, would the trade have been completed? Who knows? So in the end, I think it's a wash. If I had to give it a grade, I'd give it a C minus, a D plus. But it's just one of those few trades where I'm not sure Washington is really a winner or loser. They just kind of throw their hands up and say, we ran into a completely unforeseen circumstance. And we had the right guy, and it just, the wrong thing happened to him.
What was Mitch's grade?
Also, it basically just a pass. We can't really do it. So my question was, can you grade it or not?
I think you can grade it.
What do you grade it?
Did they have the right guy, Pete?
Like, he wasn't the best.
I mean, this is an argument that we've gone back and forth with a million times. They were 6-3, but he wasn't playing well. So you can balance kind of.
Tangible stuff is real. Like, I learned it. It's really hard to describe, but I remember players talking about how they felt with Alex at the helm. That stuff is real. Like, he's been a winner in his career. That stuff is real. I mean, to me, if we're going hindsight, just pay Kirk. Like, pay Kirk, keep the third rounder, keep Kendall Fuller, keep this operation intact. But I said that, like, they had awful leadership. They made awful decisions.
I mean, you want to open up a can of worms? Who would you have rather had in 2018, Kirk or Alex?
I think Kirk.
For the last 3 years, I guess. I think that the intangible side of Alex makes me rather have Alex. I think that the offense may have operated. Well, hold on.
Here's the better question. Here's the more accurate question. Would you have rather had Kirk, a third round pick, and Kendall Fuller, or Alex?
Well, depending on seeing what they've done with third round picks the past couple seasons, I would much rather have every third round pick. Trade my first for an extra third.
It's dumb because it's hindsight and it's largely irrelevant now, especially 1 year into the Ron Rivera era. But like, I think the trade was bad. I think they put themselves into a mess of a corner that they then kind of fought their way out of, but just don't be in the corner. It was awful leadership for Bruce Allen and the trade was a result of that. And so like, for me, I can't separate all of those things. And I don't think I should have to. So yeah, the trade's a C minus. I mean, it's not Alex's fault. He was who he is when he was here. And certainly, you know, an inspiration for what he did off the field and the comeback and everything. But I don't know. You can't look at that trade as a win for the organization. Sure. And you can't, at this point, ignore the injury. That was part of it, too. Like, all of these things happened. And that wasn't part of the plan, but it still happened.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman, Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.
So you, in the intro of the pod, said we'll focus on what's next. What is next? I mean, Kyle Allen and then free agency in the draft, right? Just find a third guy.
Yeah, you know, I don't think this Alex thing even impacts what's next because I don't think he was ever part of the picture.
Yeah.
And hell, he kind of said that in the GQ article. One thought I've had, and as soon as I say this, Maddie Click is going to make me write it, but it further cements that Ron is in charge. Because if this was Bruce and Dan and the yacht and bottles of wine, like, they don't cut Alex. They bring him back. They draft somebody. They say Alex can be a leader of this guy. Like, if Ron is not in charge, if strict football people are not in charge, I think Alex is back in 2021.
I hear you.
What it's worth,
and maybe they try to kick the can on the contract and give him an extra year and spread some of the cash out. But I think the best, like when we saw them deal Trent Williams to San Francisco, we knew. When we saw them cut Dwayne Haskins, we knew. But cutting Alex Smith, Ron's in charge, dude.
Yeah.
That's good news.
That's certainly a takeaway, but I'm at the point where I don't need any more cement. I'm good. Turn the cement trunks around. Ron's in charge. We knew that a while ago. But it is always nice to have it be reassured of that, because there have been times where coaches appear to be in power.
I vehemently disagree with you, Peter. I think we need to be reminded that Ron's in charge all the time, because we know how this thing can go.
All right. Well, the cement trunk I just rejected, you can bring it back and just put it on the side and I'll use it later.
But I hear what you're saying. I don't think Ron's the type of dude that's going to give up his control.
Yeah.
But like Mike Shanahan wasn't either. Like,
well, we talked about it.
Bill Ashburn, baby.
Yeah, you're right.
We talked about it when Ron was hired. At what point would we feel comfortable knowing that Ron is running the ship? And it's not one semi-successful season with a couple of moves that can point to it. This is something that needs to be reaffirmed over and over. They laid some cement. That cement settled. You got to keep relaying that cement to make sure that it's in there and that it's flat and that it's ready to go.
Dude, this is a beach house, and there are hurricanes that come to the beach sometimes three times a year. Sometimes it's chill for 4 or 5 years. You never know. But yep. Beach houses need to be incredibly sturdy.
All right. I got a little too cocky there. I thought we were.
As the only person here who owns a beach house, I would think you'd be familiar with that.
Yeah, that's true. I do own a beach house. I'm rich.
I love the heel turn, just leaning into it.
Yeah. I mean, soon Dan's yacht won't be the only one we're talking about at this rate. I'm going to have one too.
Serious question.
I can't wait till we can start doing podcasts from Pete's yacht. Yep.
I would love that. Could you get a boat off the dock?
No. Like a little dinghy boat or something?
Like a 25-foot boat.
I don't think I could get the knots undone, let alone get in the boat and figure out how to drive that thing. No chance. Plus, I'm kind of scared of boats, so I don't really want to do it anyway. I'd be happy to just swim or use my skimboard.
Have you ever driven a boat?
No. No interest. I'm not
a boat. Why are you scared of boats?
It just gets rocky and it gets overturned. And then what happens? You're in the middle of the ocean. The ocean is a dangerous place. You do not want to go in the ocean.
Paranoid Pete.
I like to keep the ocean below my knees. JP, you like to go in the ocean and start your day off? I'm cool with that, but keep it below the knees, man.
So you go to the beach at your family's beach house and don't go in the water?
I will go. That beach is getting dicier and dicier, more and more shark sighting. So you should go to like waist and then I'll drop down. So I'm kind of like floating underneath, but I don't really want to get to a part where my feet are struggling to touch the bottom.
Oh my goodness, Pete.
All right. It's one way to live, buddy. what happens next with Alex? I don't know. I kind of think he lands in Chicago. The Jacksonville thing just seems so obvious, and I don't know that the obvious thing always happens. I feel very confident in saying he wants to keep playing and would love to not accept what is an obvious backup role and instead kind of walk into a situation that looks like Washington might have, where you're competing against some dudes that you think you can beat. And if Chicago doesn't make big changes and they have Nick Foles and a draft pick, I don't know. My worry with Alex is the durability question. That doesn't mean he can't win a job out of training camp when he's not getting hit and not getting tossed around. If I had to guess my next...
You tweeted a Mayoko about it. I think San Fran's an interesting spot. I think Denver could be interesting as well, depending on what happens out there. I mean, there are some spots where he could go and feel like he has a reasonable chance to compete for a job.
My dark horse landing spot with no intel on it is Dallas. Be the mentor to Dak, help him through that. You're closer to the center of Intrepid where you did your rehab. Jerry Jones will take care of you. They just had Andy Dalton. Alex Smith can be Andy Dalton. But the obvious counter is, why would you reinforce a player coming off a serious injury with someone who's coming off of a serious injury just a little bit earlier? So probably not going to happen, but I like Dallas as a dark horse.
I mean, Dak's turning 28 in July. Does he need a mentor?
Like more like the rehab and, you know, you're dealing with trust issues with your leg. I've been through that. I don't know.
Pete, how old are you?
26.
He still needs a mentor. Huh.
I have plenty of mentors. I got two of them right here. I just don't know if they're the right ones.
Kid's scared to go in the ocean.
Yeah.
I need a swim instructor.
Well, I know you accomplished one of two things. You either got stung by a bee or you got a splinter. Which one happened?
Splinter. Splinter.
Yeah, splinter is bad.
So this summer, maybe you get stung by a bee.
Yeah. Give me a couple beers and you can piss off a hornet's nest and I'll go run through it and see how many stings I get.
See, that, Pete, is incredibly stupid. That would really hurt.
It'd be a great video for at WFTPod on Instagram, though.
Right. Bees will sting you one time. Hornets, can sting you over and over again.
All right. Well, everything is content.
Everything is content. I don't know. Listen, I'll confess to not know the difference between bees and hornets. How close – we talked about this a while ago, and I feel like both of you guys were really dismissive of it. Do you feel like – this could end up with Kyle Allen, Taylor Heinicke, and the equivalent of pick your guy, Andy Dalton, Teddy Bridgewater, Ryan Fitzpatrick. I feel like a month ago, 6 weeks ago, that was impossible. Now, where are your chips on like that? Just some combination of nobody you're enthusiastic about, or at least I'm sneaky enthusiastic about Heinicke. I'm putting that out there. I've decided to start putting two things out there. I think Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson are getting traded, and I'm sneaky enthusiastic about Taylor Heinicke. Those are both fairly far branches on a tree that I'm willing to walk out.
I've decided that I think Heinicke and Kyle Allen are similar quarterbacks.
Yeah, they definitely are.
Well, I'm saying, and I would rather have Taylor Heinicke. I don't think we're going to see a room with those two and a veteran. I do think you're going to see a rookie or a draft pick in some capacity, Taylor Heinicke or Kyle Allen, and a veteran as your room. So I'm relatively bearish on on Kyle Allen, Taylor Heinicke, and a veteran being that room. And if it ends up being that, then have a true competition and let's see what the hell happens.
If I may, you're bearish on that occurring or the results of that? I think we'd all be bearish on the results. Are you saying you expect a bigger name, a clear QB1 to report? What are you saying?
No. So I don't think that while I want them to swing hard for the fences and see if they could land one of the big names, I don't expect them to. I do expect them to go rookie, Taylor Heinicke, and veteran. So I was bearish on Kyle Allen, Taylor Heinicke, and the veteran being the quarterback room for next year.
So you think
I don't think both Kyle and Taylor are back.
Okay. I will know that. We'll know that before. We'll know that before like April 1.
Yeah.
Because Heinicke's look this up if you can. He's either exclusive rights or restricted free agent. So it's not like I'm sorry, Kyle. It's not like they really have to battle it out for him. Hogs Haven had a really good like graph of all the free agents. It was useful.
I think that they are going to sign him in this offseason. I think you're going to go into camp with the four quarterbacks being old guy, Heinicke, Allen, young guy. I just don't think Allen makes it out of camp.
Yeah, so he's exclusive rights. That here's the problem. That gets really hard to get everybody work. Like, you got four guys and Steven Montez. Like, people aren't getting equitable workloads, and there's not going to be an off season.
Are you concerned about Steven Montez's workload?
Yeah, I don't want to be rude to Steven Montez, but the second I draft even Mr. Irrelevant seventh round quarterback, Steven Montez is packing his bags and heading back to Colorado.
We'll see, but I'm just saying, you try to go four deep, like at some point you're also trying to win games when September comes, right? So like maybe you can do that for a week or two, but
yeah,
I don't think he can. I mean, we'll see, but that would be a wide open competition that would also be oddly slim. I think because he's in, is he exclusive? I just said he's exclusive rights, right?
Yes.
So because he's exclusive rights, I don't know. I think they might see what's available, draft free agency, and I'm sorry, trade or free agency, and then kind of wait and take their time there. And if they lose them, they lose them maybe. But Ron said very clearly that he's in the plans. So,
yeah.
And, you know, maybe his leg injury causes some suitors to back off and be a little more hesitant. But to answer JP's question, essentially it's the bag of Tostitos where you reach in and pull out a chip and it's they're all kind of the same, or will there be someone more appealing? And I was someone who was of the they're going to get someone really good 6 weeks ago. And then the more blogs I've written and the more from Peter King and other insiders I've read about how this team will be able to outbid and this team can put together this package, I just don't think Washington has the ammo to get any of the top guys. And combine that with Ron saying that he was content with just building the team and it's not imperative that he finds the player at quarterback this offseason. He's okay with it rolling into 2021. I think it's going to be the bag of Tostitos. And so that's my number one outcome. Number two, I'm more optimistic about them trading up and getting a talented rookie. And number three, it's getting like a Derek Carr or Marcus Mariota, somebody through trade. So I completely flip-flop from where I was earlier this offseason, just because it's becoming clear that they're in this no man's land and they just, maybe now isn't the season for them to swing big. Even if they want to, I just don't know if they're in the spot to be able to.
Here's the one thing I'll say. When we talk about the swing bigs, all the talk about what the Texans want for Deshaun Watson were bathing in the afterglow of the Eagles thinking, or at least reporting, that they wanted two number ones for Carson Wentz, and you see what he actually went for. So I have no doubt that Watson's going to go for a lot, but this talk of two ones, two twos, and two starters, I think might be some bag of baloney.
I vehemently disagree again. Carson Wentz looked bad last season. He was arguably the worst quarterback in the NFL that started as many games as he did. And Deshaun Watson was fantastic. And Wentz has, I think that's the difference. I think they'll get a wild price for Watson. And I'm also if I'm Washington and I'm not, I would pay it. I would pay the Watson price and I would pay the Russell Wilson price. I would pay either. And
I think it's going to be a wildly high price. I don't know if it's going to be as high as reportedly as is reportedly out there.
Yeah. But like, depending what report you believe, Pete's already bought a Tesla. I think you're talking four picks, two players easy. I think you're talking six starters.
Yeah. I think it's one of the biggest trades to ever happen, or there's no trade. I don't think they're going to come down from their stance.
There's going to be a trade, I think.
Yeah. I mean, Deshaun's talking about sitting out regular season games and it's too far gone. And that trade is happening. It's going to be interesting to see what it ends up going for.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Kia. Let's ride together.
On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field, too, when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase & Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase & Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
All right. I think we've properly covered this. Do you guys think so?
Shtick, shtick, shtick.
Yes.
I want to thank Orsman Automotive of Virginia. We had a blast at Orsman Fairfax Toyota last week. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that pod. It was great to see some of our old friends, some new friends, hang out with our guy Garv. That was a fun one, I thought.
Yeah, Garv was good on the pod. He was a lot of fun to have.
He's good at that, dude.
He's
good. Billy Brown is good at the Kia store. Andy High has zero interest.
he just wants to talk golf.
Biagi's good, but he just wants to shtick it up.
Yeah, that's my guy.
All right. Let's thank Orsman. I will. Oh, 17 game season. I'm kind of into it.
I'm into it too. More football, the better.
No reason.
And less preseason.
Yeah. Why?
And Super Bowl now on a 3-day weekend.
Can somebody explain to me the case for not liking the 17 game season? I know you guys are for it, but put on your loser pants, not your sexy jeans, your loser pants, and say why you wouldn't be for it.
I mean,
player safety. I don't know why fans would be against it.
Yeah.
Player safety. It's that simple. Like, this game is pretty vicious. You're really going to add another game. That's the case.
Yeah. But I don't know. Take away preseason, take away some offseason stuff. Maybe it's even. I get it from the safety perspective. But other than that, I don't.
And I believe because that the 17th game now is always going to be a cross conference game, everything is decided by divisions and conference. But now you're going to play more out of conference games than you play in conference, right?
Yeah.
So that's a little weird.
According to the wacky formula, and JP heard this too, it's likely going to be the Bills versus Washington in that 17th game. So a hard schedule gets harder, at least on the surface, and you get to see another premier quarterback face the Washington D-line.
The other thing is you're going to have an inequity of road games and home games. And I would assume
that rotates each year, though.
Yeah.
So the entire NFC East is going to play on the road for their 17th game, quote unquote.
Something, yeah. I mean, because everybody said 1 year you get 8, 1 year you get 9 home games. Yeah. So,
tell you what, you can sign me up for another trip to Buffalo, though. That place is a lot of fun. We got to hang out with our guy, Mark Perina, up there.
You guys got after it that night.
Yes,
we got after it a little bit. We had a lot of wings. I don't know if I've
ever told you this, Mitch. So I stayed home to go to the Nats parade that day with my girls, and I flew up late. Like, I got into town. I got into Buffalo at, like, 8, 9 o'clock at night. Me and Abernathy went looking for food. It was impossible. It was a train wreck. So I'm just in the hotel, like, going to bed at, like, 10:30.
Oh, yeah.
And you come screaming down the hallway, just screaming, Finley! Finley!
And Pete.
And what's that?
Screaming and so Pete. Loud. He was so
and
loud.
It was definitely – I heard you. I didn't hear much Pete.
I think I was just laughing.
And I was just like, there's no way I'm responding to those guys. They don't know what room I'm in. And
I wanted to just start banging on doors until you answered, but
– I heard you. I don't know if I ever admitted that I heard you, but I just was –
Yeah, we talked about this.
I was not dealing with you guys whatsoever.
We were coming in off of a casino run and listening to, like, Notorious B.I.G. and Mark Perina's car. We were hot.
I was so miserable that night because there was, like, a club on the roof of that hotel. It was so loud.
So quirky and awful.
I was stone sober, and I was like, F this. I was not happy. But whatever. All's well.
The first bar we went to in Buffalo was one of the wing bars. And Pete tried to order a beer, and I was like, we're drinking bourbon today. And we just went straight bourbon the whole day. And
oh, with wings?
It is kind of fun to just, like, I love going out with
all bourbon or, like, bourbon and Coke?
Oh, bourbon.
With wings?
Yeah. And bad blackjack hands later on that night, too.
Yeah, you both got crushed. I remember that.
It's fun to hang out with Mitch, like, alone, just because, you know, I don't have JP to, like, help buffer. And, like, hey, JP, maybe we should talk Mitch out of this idea. Or maybe you can take this bourbon shot. It's just, like, full-on Tischler experience. And you just got to ride the wave.
That's what landed you. I remember... So when we went to Nashville, the infamous Nashville trip, my sister lived there. So I was, like, with my family during the day. And then I met up with you guys at the hotel bar, and you had just hit some bet on some, like, outrageous small college basketball game. And you and Pete were tanked, and it was, like, 4 p.m. and we were going for, like, appetizers.
Yes.
And I was like, oh boy, this is going to be a day.
When things start moving at the bar, I'm buying shots for people. I'm talking other people into buying us shots. Things start happening. And Pete's been in the middle of that. You've been in the middle of that experience too, JP.
I've seen it. I feel like I try to get off the train a little earlier.
I will say, JP, the times that, like, if in your spot, when you see me and Mitch on that train and you're not on it, it is a huge relief to know, like, they're going that way and you're not a part of it. And it's like, yeah, I'm okay sitting this one out.
Yeah, like, you guys have fun. I gotta go.
JP, you jumped on that train in Arizona 1 year and we went and met up with your sister out there for dinner.
Yeah, that was tough.
You were trying to throw me out of a booth.
Put you out of the booth.
tried to throw me out of a booth. And your sister's like, what did you do to him? Who is it? That's not my brother. I don't know who that's what's going on.
People I know that I cannot keep up with at all in this world are Mitchell and Mitchell, Brian Mitchell and Mitch Tischler. Like, can't do it. I've learned and I've tried to turn the page on that, especially with 40 approaching.
One thing you were able to keep up with, in fact, no one could keep up with you, is your silly poker title.
I mean,
meow, listen, meow, meow.
Hang up now if you don't want to hear us talk about a poker tournament for 10 minutes. One more time, check out Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them. Once you do the same thing, OarsmanVA.com. That was wild, dude. That was nuts.
Cinderella story.
Before we get into it, Chance for Life is the organization. They raise money for pediatric cancer. They are the best. And this event every year is one of the coolest, most fun events that we go to in DC. But they put on a hell of a show.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was like
a Gronk. Yo, Pete trying to talk to Gronk.
The basics, a bunch of rooms. Everybody's playing online poker. And
I liked how we did it. Like, we were all playing, but we had like the FaceTime going on our phones, so we were kind of BSing with each other as we were playing, and like it kind of felt like we were drinking together, hanging out, which I thought made it way more fun.
Yeah, and you know, we're all talking about, oh, I'm making a deep run. I predicted it early, and I got felted the quickest by far. So I kind of said bye on FaceTime, and then you know, Mitch had a big stack, and JP had an enormous stack when I left. And like an hour or so later, Mitch goes, we're at the final table. And I'm like, wait a second, JP and Mitch are at the final table?
How about, I mean, there were 450 people in this event, and somehow us two donks ended up at a final table in the final final nine of everyone that was there. That's what's wild about this.
Well, dude, I was hammered. Like, I played golf that day. I was shotgunning beers.
You remember the bottle of bourbon I was showing you?
Yeah, it was gone.
It went through an entire bottle of bourbon that night.
It was, I don't know, man. Yeah, sometimes you just get in the zone and you ride it out. I don't know where the hell that came from.
So Mitch got bumped down. JP.
What happened at the final table? Like, I don't even remember you. Like, I remember it all, but did you get a bad hand? I don't know how you went out.
Yeah, so, well, it was.
You made it to, like, table. Five or six?
I went out seventh.
Okay.
So yeah, there were six people left. We got to the final table and they gave everyone a flat 100,000 chips as opposed to whatever number of chips you left your satellite room with.
Right.
But the blinds were like 10,000 and 15,000. So it was literally like,
and boom, fast. Boom, boom, boom.
I think the whole thing lasted 15, 20 minutes at best. Somebody caught a flush on me at the end when I was all in. I had them beat, but they got a flush on me. So I got knocked out. And then it was just me and JP on FaceTime, like, and I'm watching this thing and he's telling me what cards he has as we're going. And then Pete joins and we're just like screaming at JP, like cheering him on and telling him to keep going. JP had no idea what he was doing. He's just like, I'm going to bet. I'm going to raise. I'm going to call. I'm going to fold. And we were just like, do it. Go, go.
It was wild, dude. I don't know.
Took down the Bellagio. And then I think my favorite part was it's this, you know, great cause. Everybody's playing charity poker. JP had his camera turned off, so you couldn't even see his like face, which has got to be cheating. Like he's at the final table with his camera turned off. That shouldn't be allowed.
I turned it on because you were giving me such a hard time about
it. Final hand, and then you win, and it's just pandemonium.
Well, dude, so did you see that I did like an interview at the end of it?
Yeah.
And luckily Brad is my guy and Cameron is my guy. And I think they knew like kind of where I was mentally. And so whatever, it was fun. I think I handled it all right. But then we got to play it. I'll send you the clip if you don't have it, Pete.
Yeah.
I got Maria Ho to do a Momentum is Real shout out for the podcast.
I saw it and I heard it and I'll definitely drop it in right here.
Yeah.
Can I ask a favor, please? Maria, I have a podcast and we cover the Washington football team. And our saying is the momentum is real because the podcast just continues to build and build and build. Is there any chance you could say the momentum is real and we can record it? And can I, Brad, please use this in the podcast someday?
Of course, we love it. As long as you say, of course.
You want me to go ahead?
Maria says yes.
Yes. Hey, I'm Maria. Momentum is real, and we're all here for Chance's Life. Whatever you need to say, I'm in.
All right. I'm Maria Ho, poker champion, and the momentum is real, and we are here supporting and celebrating Chance for Life.
So here's what I know. So Mitchell, you have two nights at the Borgata?
Yeah, so I didn't know that there was any of this, but there's a bunch of gift certificates and prizes that we got for making the final table, which was spectacular.
So I have a $5 chip to the Borgata. This has got to be at least 10 years old. if I don't go with you, I'm giving this to Pete. But I've been thinking about this.
You're giving it to me, and we're putting it on a number in roulette, and we're singing, what's the song, Pete?
I want you to take over control.
Take over control.
So I want a trip to Vegas, and we're going to take Pete to Vegas. Yep. There's no argument about it. And Mitch, I don't know what you think. I don't think we should let him go to AC before he goes to Vegas.
No, I don't. It's funny. AC used to be great because it was the only casino on this side of the Mississippi. You know, it's lost a little bit of its luster. I'm excited for the trip because it's a pretty sick room that they got us, and we'll figure out a time that works and we can go maybe play some golf out there and hit the casino and whatnot there. But Vegas is its own thing. And for Pete's first guy's trip, that needs to be.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No argument there. And I didn't win anything for my 684th place finish, so I can't contribute to any of these trips. Maybe I'll buy a dinner and that could be my way of getting.
I have a question, and this is a legitimate question because I ended up winning some nice prizes.
Yeah.
We had a side bet. What happens to the side bet?
I'm happy to pay you. But I figured all of your prizes were enough. But again, if I won, I would probably be a jerk and be asking you for the $40 too. So I'm happy.
And if Pete won, he would definitely take his girlfriend to Vegas. He wouldn't take us.
100%.
The last story from that is, like JP said, Gronk was one of the special guests. They had a million special guests. JP hung out with Deion Sanders at one point. But Gronk, his little face popped up in our various poker rooms. And when he popped up in ours, I had so much to drink. And I was like, JP, I'm going to ask Gronk what it was like to block Chase Young. So Gronk's doing stupid Gronk things, doing interviews and answering questions from poker players. And every time there's a pause in his speaking, I would unmute myself and go, hey, Gronk, what was it like trying to block Chase Young in the wild card game? And there'd be a pause. And I don't know if he couldn't hear me or just was ignoring me. I asked him 6 times, got no response. And then
went hard to the paint. And I swear he was ignoring you because he has a handler that's only bringing in one person at a time. I don't know, but
no, because we were on the Zoom, so we could hear each other talking in our rooms or whatever.
Right.
And Pete was like leaning into the Zoom. He's like, I'm going to do it. And we listened to him ask Gronk this question like 5 different times. There's no way he didn't hear it. He was just ignoring you.
You tried, Pete. God bless you. Matty Clicks. He earned that. He earned that one.
Yeah.
Hung hard. I appreciate it.
Pete had the best analogy though, that not only was for me to win a poker tournament of that scope, right? Like if the three of us sit down and play cards with Hordell, Sullivan, and Biaggi, and I win, like, all right, like I had a good night, who knows? But of that scope where I'm incredibly impatient and bad at math, and those two things are pretty vital to playing poker. What you said it was UMBC.
UMBC scoring that upset over UVA and then winning the other 5 games to win the NCAA title.
Like, so I told B-Mitch that, and B-Mitch goes, nah, it would be like then UMBC joins the NBA and wins the NBA finals.
Like, that works. It was the most improbable thing I've ever witnessed, and I'm going to think about it on my deathbed. It was so crazy that you were able to win that. I'll never
get sometimes you just have the right mix of alcohol and luck, and things start moving in the right direction.
Remember when Mitch
they jetted to the end.
Remember when Mitch chugged a bottle of Tito's and then came back to beat me and Chuck Honey at Country Club of Virginia, where he chipped in off a sprinkler head.
Pardon me.
Sometimes the universe just wants things the way they want them.
Yeah, and
Chuck is the nicest man in the world, and he was so mad that day. It was so fun.
I couldn't even get out of the trap on 18. I had to haul it. Oh,
God. And then a salute to Mitch also, because he was key in this. He was JP's offensive coordinator in his headset, telling him which linebackers to worry about and how to read the coverage.
Especially late. Like I started to really lose control at that final table. and Mitch was there for, well, not really. We were kind of in it. It was kind of all, things got a little fuzzy for everybody.
I didn't help at all.
Mitch had drank a bottle of bourbon. There was a lot going on.
We don't need to talk about the content of the phone call, but do you remember the Zoom at the end of the night, JP, with Hordell and Sully and everybody?
I do, mostly. I remember it occurring, but I can't find my – I've lost a lot of things from that night.
It doesn't even matter what was said. I just love when JP starts getting in that zone. His voice hits another octave. And there's more baritone in there. And you just like, you know, immediately when JP says, I'm like, he's moving, things are moving for him. And listen, that was a good night. We were celebrating. It was spectacular.
My wife was so unimpressed. Like, she was convinced that it was like 12 of us on the computer and I just didn't hang out with my family all night. And
I like, she won a bunch of great prizes and the Chance for Life people are amazing and all their amazing sponsors.
I went out there when we made it to the final table. I was like, right. Lauren, I'm at the final table. She's like, great.
Like, do you want anything? Do you want any real money? It was just like, no, this is a charity tournament. That's not the way that these things work.
I told her, I think I won $80 off Mitch and Pete, but I guess not.
I'll tell you what.
Right now.
Here's
what I want. I want you to have that $40 as soon as we get off the plane in Vegas. The first roulette table we see, all 40 of that, you can pick the bet, but it's a one bet $40. Or one hand of blackjack $40. We will ride the lightning.
It's a one-time use $40, and I'll plug it into like a stupid machine I see at the airport in Vegas, wherever we want to go.
When we fly to Vegas, Pete, are you going to be able to control yourself? Like, will you start drinking at BWI, the car ride to BWI? Oh, like,
wake up, I brush my teeth, and I have like a kamikaze in the morning. Like, just
the last Vegas trip I did with my boys, we were shotgunning beers on the airplane.
Yeah. That is wholly inappropriate, but I also want to try and replicate that.
We'll see. We'll see what you think of this pod.
We should, next year, as we run up to this tournament, we should start talking about it a little more and get some folks to sign up, because it's really a ton of fun and an incredible day.
Especially if we're back at the MGM. I mean, what a wild day. All right, we got to go. That was fun, man. Alex, you were all class in your time in Washington, and when it ends, know that you were appreciated.
He gets a hearty tribute video the next time he's at FedEx Field.
There you have it. Hearty tribute video. Thank you to Horseman Automotive of Virginia. Thank you to Mitch and Pete. Thank you to Chance for Life. Great people, Brad and Adam and Doug Cameron, everybody. Thank you guys for listening. You made it this far. I owe you a beer. On this podcast, we do not apologize for success. In fact, we attack it.
Horseman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Horseman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Savings, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Horseman story.
Horseman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.
What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.